Are you ready? But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Luke 22:33. I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke 22. For a few minutes this evening, I want us to consider the question, are you ready? We talk about being ready. It's been talked about a lot in the last several years in different ways, not in a religious way, but just the need to be ready. You see people selling these ready kits. You need to be prepared for some kind of disaster. You need to be prepared in case you have to get up and move out of one area to another. You need to be ready. All kinds of companies sell all different kinds of kits to help us be ready for different situations. You hear commercials, you need to be prepared, you need to be ready and have food, you need to have different things. The last picture on the slide up here, toilet paper. Over the last couple years, we keep hearing there's shortages in the stores. You need to be ready, you need to be prepared, you need to be ready. The question is, and we aren't talking about these physical things, we're talking about spiritual things, are you ready? Luke 22:33, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan had asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. So Jesus tells Peter that Satan is going to come after him, and that he has prayed for him, and that he's going to sift him like wheat. And I pray that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, so he's telling Peter, when you return, that implies you're going to fall away from me. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said, no, I'm ready to go with you anywhere, both to prison and to death. So are you ready? Are you ready? Peter was not ready. He just thought that he was. And later he denied the Lord. We drop down in chapter 22 to verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. After a little while, another saw him and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Friends, are you ready? When we read from Peter later in his life, in 1 Peter 2:21, we read that we should follow Jesus, for he is our example. Peter learned he needed to be ready. We need to learn this. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We should be ready to follow Jesus. We sing the song sometimes, who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. We say we want to follow Jesus, but only when it's convenient. We say we want to follow Jesus, but we aren't ready to when it might make our friends or family uncomfortable, and we say, no, I can't participate with you in these activities. We want to follow Jesus on our terms. And we think, oh, we'll never leave you, Jesus. We'll even die for you. But friends, we will not die for Jesus if we will not stand up for Jesus and His Word. God sent His Son to die for us and to tell us what we need to do. And if we don't follow what He tells us, don't think in our minds that we're going to die for Christ. Our following Him necessitates self-denial. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, we have one of these if-then clauses. It doesn't say then, but we see if and then what we need to do. If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Following, when we follow Jesus, following in and of itself is not proof of anything special. Even a dog will follow his master. Somebody says, I follow Jesus. We see people on social media, they follow certain people. They follow, they think like following is the reality of everything they want it to be. Following Jesus is different. Our following Jesus is like a sailor sailing under sealed orders. The question of obedience has been settled before the orders are read. We will do whatever He says. So when we say that, when we come up out of the waters of baptism and say we are going to follow Jesus, we have sealed orders from Him, and we are saying, I'm going to follow You no matter where it takes me, no matter what You tell me to do. We don't have those sealed orders like in an envelope or in an email, some special message, but we do have a special message right here of what He wants us to do on the church, the work of the church, the worship of the church, the finance of the church, what the church can and can't do, the authority of the church, the family, the home. We have the special orders on what the family is. And again, we see our nation imploding before our eyes with this anti-family agenda of just accept everybody, just accept them as they are. And friends, God does not do that. I challenge you to show me from God's Word where He does that. He wants every man to repent. Don't stay where you are. You cannot come to Jesus unless you repent. If you want to follow Jesus, I have to repent. I have to put my wants and wishes aside and follow Jesus. So the question, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to what? Are we ready to what? Well, the first thing, are we ready always to give an answer to every man? Again, several of these passages from Peter, and Peter has learned from the time we read back in the Gospels till he writes his epistle when he said, I am ready, Lord. He saw he wasn't ready. He tells us several things that we need to be ready for. 1 Peter 3:13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Friends, we need to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks us about the hope that is in us. Are you ready? And a question we need to ask before that, are people asking us about our hope? Do they know that we have hope? Or do we just blend in with the world and go along with the world and the world thinks we're one of them and they don't even ask us? We need to be different. We need to be different, not in some bold, arrogant way, but as he says, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, and give an answer. But we need to be living our life so that people will ask us, first of all, when they see us in a group at work, in the community, do you want a drink? No, thank you, I don't drink. You don't drink? What do you mean you don't drink? Are you one of those crazy Bible people? You know, we need to be ready to give them an answer. We need to be ready to explain to them. Always be ready to give an answer. And it takes study to do this. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be diligent. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes to Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, are you ready to give an answer to every man? Are you ready to give a Bible answer? Not, well, my preacher said, this is what we do, or this is just the way we've always done this, or I feel this is a pretty good idea. Or are you saying what I'm doing is wrong? Friends, we've got to get back to what God says. And if what I am doing is wrong, please show me from the scriptures so that I can change, because I don't want to be lost. I don't want anybody here to be lost. And we aren't going to know what we need to do unless we study. God doesn't give us miraculous knowledge today. And you think of Timothy, he had the Spirit, he had the power of the Spirit by the laying on of Paul's hands. And what does Paul tell him? Just rely on what the Spirit tells you and what you feel like saying at the time. He tells him to study. To study. And if he told Timothy to study and he had the Spirit, we don't have the Spirit and we definitely need to study. John says in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You see, it also takes the right disposition of heart to do it in the manner commanded. We need to search to find what God wants us to do, not search to prove a point that we have. One might win a discussion and lose a soul. Let us win the soul as well as the discussion. Proverbs 11:30, he that wins souls is wise. Are you ready to search the scriptures? How much time did you spend reading the Bible this last week? How much time did I spend reading the Bible? This applies to all of us. Well, are you ready? Are you ready? Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Romans 1:15, so much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Friends, we need every one of us to always be ready to preach the gospel. That doesn't mean everyone needs to be ready to stand behind a pulpit and preach, but we all need to be ready to preach the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Why was Paul ready? Well, in Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he was not ashamed of the gospel. And he recognized that he was a debtor to the gospel in Romans 1:14. I'm both a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So he was ready to preach it. He knew he was a debtor to preach it. He was not ashamed to preach it. Friends, those same reasons should motivate us to preach the gospel today. And if we don't, we're just stingy. We got to be honest. If I don't share it, I'm stingy. God, thank you for revealing this to me. I'm so glad I'm going to be saved, but I don't want to let anybody else know what they need to do. Friends, we got to be ready. Are you ready? Number three, are you ready? Are you ready to distribute? Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:18, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. So, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. What is a good work? It's something that we can read about from God's Word. You see so many denominations, they'll take the word fellowship and stick it in front of some activity and say that's a good work. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and praise God and we love God and we're going to have this fellowship together. And friends, if we can't read about it in the Bible, it is not a good work. And if we can read about it in the Bible, we need to be doing it. And why are so many places, denominations engaged in stuff like that? Because they aren't going to hear preaching from the Bible. They're going to hear it from some man, his opinion. And when it says be ready to give, willing to share, that takes some planning. That takes some budgeting. Now, it doesn't say how much here, talking about helping others to give or to share, but it's simply a matter of planning and budgeting. We plan and budget how much we're going to give on the first day of the week. We plan and budget how much we're going to have for our house payment, our car payment, our utility payment, our property taxes that are going up. We plan and budget for all of those things. Don't you think we can work into our budget X amount we'll just set aside? And then when the occasion arises or we see somebody in help that needs help, we're ready to give. We're ready to give instead of the opposite. And it doesn't have to be a lot, just something. Give something, $20, something. People would appreciate something, whatever the amount. But you see people spend money on everything else. And then here's a need, somebody needs some help. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm overextended and I've got all this credit card debt and this and that. Friends, we need to be ready to distribute, and it's not hard. We just got to do a little planning. Sharing with others is a Christian principle of life. What did God do? God shared His Son with us. God gave His only begotten Son. God wants us to give, and again, as I say over and over, God doesn't want us to give to raise money for Him. God isn't trying to raise money. God is trying to raise children. And the more that we give, the more we become like God who gave everything for us. So this indicates unselfishness and kindness. It was a mark of the early church. Acts 2:44. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They shared, they sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone who had need. Acts 4:34 and 35, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So a couple things. One of the big things here, we see that a religion without heart is worthless. We have to want to help people from the heart. Another thing we see from the early church, and what did they have to help people with? Did they have their clothes pantry? Did they have their food pantry? Did they have their ready-to-go boxes? Did they have this and that already? No. Look at it again. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. The proceeds is going to be money. They brought this money and laid it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So again, these denominations out there that have this pantry, this and that, they aren't following the Bible example. You give the person money and they know what they need, and the church stays out of business. But so many churches want to get into business. And just as an aside, you can call something a church, get a 501c charter, be a nonprofit organization, and you see so many organizations, they are just about everything but a Bible church, and they're doing business under the name of the church. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to every good work? Paul wrote to Titus 3:1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And what were their rulers and authorities like at that time? They were pretty evil, wicked men, the Roman government. We need to be ready to do it yourself. Do not wish it off on somebody else. Works are the fruits of faith, for we show our faith by our works. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. I remember a teacher from junior high, and she would talk about the Boy Scouts motto, be prepared. And she said, that's the Boy Scouts motto. She said, now, when we were in the Girl Scouts, our motto was be prepared and have a spare. She was saying, you be ready, you be double ready, you be prepared. James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. So this kind of religion is known, for a tree is known by its fruits. Luke 6:44. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? That's something we have to ask ourselves. Do we call Jesus our Lord? Yet we get involved in all kinds of things that we have no business being involved in. Do we call Jesus Lord, but we go to all kinds of places we have no business going to? Or do we call Jesus Lord, but we bounce around from this to that and don't think a thing about missing services? Are you ready? Our question tonight is, are you ready? Paul said, I am ready to die. Peter said that. When Paul said it, he had a little different tone. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He knew that he was going to suffer many things and die from the time that Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus to show him everything that he was going to go through. He knew that he was going to die. He knew the closer and closer he got to the time he was going to die. And he was ready to die. He knew, he didn't know exactly when. He knew where he was going to die. Friends, do we think about dying? We aren't going to start living until we think about dying. Because remember, a while back, I did a sermon on the most dangerous habit there is. And it wasn't what we generally think of with the list of sins. One of the most dangerous habits is procrastination. And we know what we need to do, but we're going to put that off till tomorrow. I know I need to stand for the truth, but I'll do that tomorrow. I know I need to make my life right, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then, friends, one of these days, tomorrow is never going to come. The statement was correct that Paul made, for later he did die for Jesus. Just prior to his death, he wrote these words that we've looked at many times to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was ready to die. Are we ready to die? Do we have our life right with God and with our fellow man if we died tonight? Can we say, I'm ready to die? I'm ready. Does the Lord mean that much to us? Friends, we are not called upon to die for him. We might need to. We need to be faithful unto death. But all of us aren't called to die for him, but we are called to live for him. And we can't live for Christ holding on to Christ with this hand and holding on to the world with that hand. We just can't do it. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. What does holy mean? It's sanctified. It's set apart. It's set apart for the Lord's service. How do we know what's holy? We go back to God's word. Holy, acceptable to God. There's a lot of worship that isn't acceptable to God. We know that from Matthew 17, when Jesus was talking to people and they said, Lord, didn't we, you know, prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do all these mighty, wonderful works? And he said, depart from me, you that practice iniquity, you that practice lawlessness, you that are doing those things without authority from my word. So friends, we need, again, to study and know what we can and can't do and be ready to give an answer to every person. Why don't you have a band here? Why don't you have a kitchen here? Why don't you eat in the building? Why don't you send money to an organized missionary society? Why don't you have these outreach programs? Somebody asks you that, you say, I'd be glad to open our Bibles and look at that with you. And I've got an open mind. If I'm wrong, I'll be glad to change. Do you have an open mind? And if you're wrong, are you willing to change? Because see, we don't want to win the discussion. We want to win the soul. We want people to be saved. Friends, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for his return? Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Do you have your... We don't do this literally, but when Christ comes back, do we have our ready-to-go bag? Our ready-to-go bag ready to leave this world, to go with him into the new world. We need to figuratively have all things ready, all things ready. The tragedy of the foolish virgins was that they were not ready to meet the bridegroom. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. To be ready, one must be in the kingdom and make preparation as did the wise virgins. They were invited to the wedding feast. They did not make the proper preparations. And this preparation does not come accidentally. You have to make it on purpose. Friends, a couple things about the judgment. God is a righteous judge. He's not going to make any mistake. Who's going to be in heaven? Who's going to be in hell? He's not going to make any mistakes. He is going to judge us by his word. Nobody is going to be in hell by mistake. Nobody is going to be in heaven by mistake. This preparation does not come accidentally. We aren't accidentally going to go to heaven. People like to think that. Well, you just got to live and let live. Just live and let live. Everybody's going to heaven. Friends, no. Paul writes and warns over and over about people departing from the faith. Why would he warn the elders at Ephesus? Why would he warn Timothy about these departures if just believe whatever you want to? He warned them because these departures are going to damn people's souls. It's going to cause them to lose their soul. Are you ready? Are you ready? When you look at all of these, the conclusion, victories are won by being ready. You aren't going to accidentally win. An old Greek officer counseled the generals on the eve of an engagement. The secret of victory is in getting a good ready. Getting a good ready. It's just like, you know, the story, it's attributed to different people about if you only had so many hours to chop down a tree, what would you do? And the right answer was spend, you know, if you had X number of hours, you spend so much time sharpening your axe to be ready to chop down that tree. Getting a good ready is the secret of victory. General said, battles are won the day before. We need that day before preparation that we may be ready. Friends, when Monday rolls around, or when Sunday rolls around, if we didn't prepare, you think about, again, I'll just use the denominations as an example, all these people that went to these other buildings this morning thinking that their worship was acceptable, and it wasn't. We need to look at our life, our worship to God, our battles with Satan. And again, if I just use drinking as an example, does the battle take place at those clubs down on this street or that street? Is that where the battle takes place? No, the battle takes place in our heart, in our mind. And when Satan has our heart and our mind, if we have our heart and mind, we can walk past one of those places that is a temptation for somebody, and it's not going to faze us at all because we have prepared. But if we haven't prepared and somebody has a problem, they are addicted to drinking. I don't say have a problem with drinking. If you're drinking, you have a problem. Bible teaches about abstaining from alcohol and wine and such things that alter our thoughts, where we are not in control of our thoughts. But if someone has a, for lack of a better term, a problem with drinking, and somebody says, hey, let's go out to eat and let's go to this place, and they've got a table here and the bar is right there, and the person comes up and says, what would you like to drink? They're going to lose that battle. They're going to lose that battle because they have gone onto the battlefield and their mind is not prepared. Are you ready? Are you ready to give an answer to every man? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to distribute? Are you ready to do every good work? Are you ready to die? Are you ready for his return? Friend, victories are won by being ready. Are you ready? And you know, God is ready for us. God is ready for us to come to him. Luke 4:17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. See, we have a list of things to do to be ready. God has made all things ready for us to come to him. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation for whosoever will. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the master's side. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine. Tomorrow may never be. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the Christ of God and drink everlasting life. Friends, are you ready? Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to make your life ready, if you die or for when Christ comes back again, when he returns, if there's anyone that needs to make their life right, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.